I'd like to begin by going back to revisit the discussion we began about stitches a few shiurim ago. We had quoted a tshuva written by Rishon Zalman that at the time I hadn't seen in the original source. So let's go back to that tshuva. We talked about a couple issues that are of importance. In the new edition of the Mincha Shlomo, it's printed in the final volume, Simen Lamed Hei Os Beis. Okay, Mincha Shlomo, the final volume, Chel Beis, I think it's called, Simen Lamed Hei Os Beis. So the first thing that Rishon Zalman addresses is the following situation: a young lady who has a wound with a deep cut on her face, but there's no danger of, there's no sakana. It's not a pikuach nefesh situation. So the only consequence of not treating it would be cosmetic. But if you're not going to stitch it on Shabbos, then she's going to be left with a significant scar on her face, which will make things difficult for shidduchim and could lead to depression.
Okay, so just to clarify, so there's
no pikuach nefesh involved. Situation. It's simply a cosmetic matter, but it's a cosmetic matter with potentially serious consequences because the way it's described in the shayla or the tshuva, it could harm her prospects for shidduchim, and that in turn could lead to depression. So that's not enough grounds to be matir and iser d'oraisa clearly. Or even an iser d'rabbanan. But, as Rishon Zalman says, you're allowed to have a non-Jewish doctor do the stitches. So you have a situation where there could be a cosmetic repercussion of not stitching on Shabbos, but there's no pikuach nefesh consideration, so you can have the stitches done Ali Day Nachri Shvus de Shvus. Well, sorry. You can have the stitches done Ali Day Nachri, even if the act of stitching on Shabbos is a Issa Deraisa, which Rishon Zalman is Choshesh, or at least is inclined to believe that it is or may be an Issa Deraisa. So you could have a non-Jewish doctor perform those stitches. And Rishon Zalman is quoted in Shmir Shabbos Kol Chasa as explaining as follows. Shmir Shabbos Kol Chasa, last edition, Perek Lamed Ches Arakav Hei. Perek Lamed Ches Arakav Hei, the third edition of Shmir Shabbos Kol Chasa, he quotes from Rishon Zalman, he quotes it as a Safek, that Rishon Zalman was Mesufek whether you're allowed to have a non-Jew perform a Malacha D'Oraisa in order to prevent a cosmetic problem, since that is considered potentially like a sudden case of Hefzeg Gadol, where sometimes there's an allowance to have a Nachri do even a Malacha D'Oraisa to avoid a sudden Hefzeg Gadol. So in the Shmir Shabbos L'Chos, he quotes this as a Safek that Rishon Zalman had, but in the Tshuva, it's not that Rishon Zalman was comfortable under those circumstances allowing potentially even a Malacha D'Oraisa to be performed Al Yidei Nachri to avoid the consequences of a lasting facial scar. Okay? So that's the first Nakuda in this Tshuva of Rishon Zalman. Avi.
How far do we take that consideration that maybe due to this, the person that has the scar, if we don't treat it, will become depressed, and depressed therefore has a greater...
So it doesn't... I think the depression is an added line, but it sounds like Rishon Zalman would have said this even without the depression part. You know, the fact that it would make things difficult for shidduchim and would, you know, potentially create major harm in the future is enough to consider the kind of a hesed meruba or hesed gadol that could allow for a mir lahakim even on a malacha d'oraisa.
I want to ask the inverse though, meaning someone who is no longer involved in shidduchim but does
right.
have the issue of depression. Meaning a girl who's 23 married, but
right.
her life's going to have a gash on her face.
Yes, so that also is probably about to rely on, if not only someone who's single, but
well,
someone who's...
Someone
doesn't
get both reasons, but you're
I'm
saying each one doesn't get both reasons. You're saying each one independently
stands? Well, in the citation, in Shmir Shabbos L'Chasa, he doesn't mention the depression thing. He just says that it's going to a situation where there's going to be a very apparent facial scar. It's enough of a hefzeg gadol because of the consequences. Now, included in that could be multiple consequences, It sounds like either one of those considerations alone would probably be sufficient in this analysis.
Logistically speaking, you would ask a goy to call, let's say, an ambulance, and
right,
pick you, and then
right,
is it assumed that you're going to pay for all the services the doctor performs, or are you not allowed to pay for services that a goy does?
Well, in America, we have this thing called insurance, so you almost never pay on the spot for a medical procedure. In theory, if they insisted on payment, so then there's also you could figure out how to do that without violating any malacha. Okay, and then Rav Shlomo Zalman has the second part of this tshuva, which we did discuss briefly last time, and that is his big chiddush that in a situation where there is a sakana nefasha situation, pikuach nefesh situation, that would allow you to stitch on Shabbos. So then, even if stitching is a malacha d'oraisa, it could even be done al yaday Yisrael. It should be done al Yisrael if it's a real sakana situation. But in order to get out of the woods of the pikuach nefesh situation, it would be sufficient to stitch a minimal amount of stitches, but that's going to leave a lasting scar. Are you allowed to stitch additional stitches, where the additional stitches are only for cosmetic reasons and not because of a pikuach nefesh component? That's what we mentioned last time. So Shlomo Zalman in this tshuva has two nekudos that he quotes to allow for the additional stitches. So the first part of his analysis is the comparison to the case of tzitzin she'ena ma'akvin in Hilchos Mila. He writes the following: the kemo b'mila kol zman shelo pireish shapir malin gam b'shabes v'chosin gam l'tzitzin she'ein ma'akvin es hamila mishem tamid disno v'chayv mitzvah. So just like we find that if you're still involved in the ma'isa mila, you're allowed to continue and cut the tzitzin she'ein ma'akvin, even though the tzitzin she'ein ma'akvin are only mishem heder mitzvah. Kach am kan kemo she'ashabes nidcha v'nei asala misakana kach mutter gam ligmor es asher heichel. So here, too, when it comes to Shabbos, where Shabbos is nidcha for atzolos nefashos, you're allowed to finish that which you start. Ulahatil esa adam mimum asher yisbayesh v'yistar mizah kol yomav. And then you can, once you're already involved in atzolos nefashos, which you're allowed to be involved in, you're allowed to go further in order to protect this person from the embarrassment and pain that would be caused from a long-lasting scar. Just like when it comes to tzitzin she'ena ma'akvin, that's considered to be the gemar hamilah. This is the conclusion, the continuation of the same act, of the same process of hatzalos nefashos. He doesn't think that's a function of hutra or dechuya. So that's itself a chiddush. Now when it comes to that was the analogy that we quoted a few times ago from the Bochonon, that the basis of the Magen Mishnah's din, that you can engage yourself in Shar Tzracha V'Chol HaShesh V'Sakana, and the Bochonon's analogy to Tzitzin She'enem Akvin. But what Rosh Hashanah Zalman is doing here is saying that just like over there it's considered all part of the same Maisa, even though there it's part of the mitzvah, here it's not part of the mitzvah per se, but it's also considered part of the same Maisa, so you can continue, once you're engaged in Atzalos Nefashos Beheter, to do additional stitches. That's one nekuda that he makes. And then he says, in addition, it could be that some whole stitches is only a din derabanan on the human body, even though Rosh Hashanah Zalman thinks that you should be koshish to see this a deraisa. Who holds that it's an issa derabanan? So in print, all I saw was the Tzitz Eliezer in Chelek Kaf Simen Yuches. Tzitz Eliezer Chelek Kaf Simen Yuches quotes this from Reb Chaskel Abramsky, who's also quoted as saying this in Reb Zilberstein's Torah Hayoledes, that stitches are only in issa derabanan. Shlomo Zalman assumes that the pashtus is more that it's an issa deraisa, but it's a stiff, it's a tzirah. He says maybe it's only derabanan. And then he says maybe this is also dependent on that din of the Magen Mishnah that whatever you would normally do for a cholish yesh basakami during the week, you're allowed to do on Shabbos as well, even though that particular action isn't necessitated based on a direct pikuach nefesh consideration. So he presents this as an additional consideration beyond Sisson Shenim Akvin. So Rabbi Willie points out in his piece in Am Mordechai that apparently Rav Shlomo Zalman didn't understand the Magen Mishnah as Rabbi Chanan did, because Rabbi Chanan said the din of the Magen Mishnah and Sisson Shenim Akvin is the same din. Shlomo Zalman presents the Magen Mishnah as an additional approach. How did Shlomo Zalman understand the Magen Mishnah? Not so clear either. So that's Rav Shlomo Zalman's Chiddush, which is debatable, whether you could go and stitch additional stitches for cosmetic purposes once you're already stitching the heter. In the English Refuah book by Rabbi Bodner, published by Feldheim, he quotes in the back from Rav Nissen Karelitz, Chodem Meshulash, who explicitly argues on this talk of Rav Shlomo Zalman.
Quite good on
his? Rav Nissen Karelitz. Chod HaMeshulash on Shabbos. He argues and assumes that there's no heter for additional stitches for cosmetic purposes. Avi.
According to Corellis, would you want to have cosmetic surgery after Shabbos to fix that?
Yeah, if it worked, why not? Are you asking Alz Chavala?
Yeah.
Yes, I think most people can assume that if it's going to... if there's a reason to do it, so then cosmetic surgery is permissible. Okay. Now, bichlal, what is the danger, or what is the potential sakana consideration for your typical kind of head injury that would require stitches? So, I had thought that the medical community assumes that if you have the type of wound, let's say in the head, that would require stitches, there's a concern of infection, and you need to stitch it up to avoid the possibility of infection. ENT, Udamas in my show, Dr. Lederreich, who does a lot of stitching, told me that there's no real concern for infection in your typical head wound that would require stitches. Definitely not within the first 24 hours, which is when you would typically stitch. And the only real reason to stitch is, again, assuming that the bleeding stops and assuming that there's nothing beyond the normal type of head gash, the reason you would stitch is cosmetic and not because of any concern of sakana. And I spoke to Dr. Berman, the father of Reuven Aaron Berman, who's an infectious disease specialist, and he told me the same thing, that in general there's no concern of infection under these circumstances. The only real concern of infection would be if you stitch after 24 hours, then there's a concern that maybe something got stuck under the wound, and then if you stitch over it, it could get infected. But in your normal situation, there is no real concern of infection. And then it would follow if that's the case, that let's say you have a kind of wound that would normally require stitches that you get 10 o'clock Friday night, then given that within the medical community they will typically stitch up to 24 hours, there's no need to seek medical attention to stitch it before the end of Shabbos. Hold on a minute. Now, even if that assessment is correct, then you would still have to make the following assessment. So let's say there is a cosmetic need. So is there going to be, let's say you wait for 18 hours until you do the stitches. So will the stitches have the same cosmetic effect after 18 hours that they would have after 6 hours? So Dr. Lederer claims to be usually yes. So if that's the case, then there's probably no need to do it on Shabbos Hayyadei Goy. If it was a situation where it's only a cosmetic need, but there will be a difference between whether you do the stitches after 6 hours or after 18 hours, and there could be more of a scar if you wait to 18 hours, so then you go back to the first thing we quoted from Shlomo Zalman, then in that case, presumably it would be Mutter Hayyadei Nachri. Now, an additional consideration, let's say we were to assume for argument's sake that stitching is derabbanan. So Shlomo Zalman assumed that stitching is probably derabbanan. So let's say we were to assume that it's derabbanan. So then, are there any circumstances in which you could have a Jewish doctor do the stitching on Shabbos where the only concern is cosmetic?
Like, I guess no one would say do the Shina.
It probably wouldn't be as effective.
Yeah.
You probably wouldn't want your doctor stitching like the Shina.
Yeah.
Right. but so.
Let me argue the Makom Mitzvah.
What's not gonna miss them?
How's far do we take Oneg Shabbos? Like, no one wants to stay with a head wound over Shabbos.
No, the bleeding stops. It's not usually.
Someone gave me the option to not have an open wound over Shabbos. Like,
I don't know. It depends on if it's covered up. But there's another. Let's say we're talking about a situation where there is going to be a cosmetic repercussion of not doing the stitches on Shabbos. So the only consideration is cosmetic. So Ayde Nachri is definitely okay. Let's say the only doctor who's available is a Jewish doctor. So if the only doctor available is a Jewish doctor, and the only reason to do it is cosmetic, so if stitching is a Malacha D'Oraisa, you have a problem. If it's derabbanan, so what about the following analysis? Rabbi Neuberger pointed out this more often to me. Rav Nevensal, in his the Mishnah Berurah that has Rav Nevensal's comments on the bottom, has the following argument appended to Mishnah Berurah Sifkata Nun Beis. So he's talking about a young lady that has some facial condition that is making things hard for her as far as shidduchim are concerned. That she has some dermatological condition on her face, and it's only treatable with medicine that's taken on a frequent basis. And if she took it every day but Shabbos, then it wouldn't have the same effect. So we'll talk about medicine on Shabbos in due time. Not so long. But he argues that even though you would have said that the person in that condition is not the type of a chola that would be allowed to take medicine on Shabbos, he argues that it's considered like sakana sefer, which we'll talk about soon. It's considered like sakana sefer because the face is like a limb, and there's a problem with the face. The face is not functioning in its normal capacity. So kind of say, as we'll see, means that if a limb doesn't function in the, or it's not going to function in the normal capacity, so here the face is not functioning in the normal capacity, and when it comes to Sakana Sefer, we'll see, you're allowed to perform a Shavuos Al Yidei Yisrael. So he's not here taking medicine in the case of this dermatological condition because it's like a Sakana Sefer. So to transpose that to our case, if you made the same argument that having this cosmetic scar, which is going to set in if you don't do the stitching on Shabbos, would be considered like a Sakana Sefer. Sakana Sefer, a Yisrael could do Malacha Derabbanan Ayde Shinoi. So again, you have to figure out if you could do stitches Ayde Shinoi. According to some, there may even be grounds, as we'll see, for doing a malacha d'oraisa ayde shinoi, in which case you're going to have to figure out what it means ayde shinoi here. So that's just something to think about. So let me wrap this up and we'll take questions. Be that as it may, I'm still trying to find out whether this is reflective of a broad consensus in the medical community that there's no real danger of infection under these circumstances. So I spoke to both Rabbi Willig and Rabbi Neuberger about this the last couple of days, and they also have been under the impression that there is more of a concern of sakana under your normal head wound situation, and that's how most people seem to operate. And Rabbi Shatai was going to look into this more for me as well, so the verdict is still a little bit out, but Rav Shlomo Zalman does have the following response in a tshuva written appended to an English book, which was published by a since posted an English book, in which he says that in a situation where a majority of doctors say there's no concern of infection, but a minority of doctors say there is a concern of infection, you should still treat it as a chola sheyesh lo sakana, because ein hokin b'pikuach nefesh acharov, so you don't follow a majority, and as long as there are some people in the medical community that would say there's a sakana, then you have to be chosheish for that minority opinion. So we're still trying to work on this, but it would seem that based on the information we just presented, that in your typical situation of a little kid that gets a head wound on Shabbos that you normally stitch, it's arguable that there's no real concern of sakana under most circumstances that would require stitches on Shabbos, and then you have to figure out whether to do it Ayyidei Nakri or to wait until after Shabbos.
Aren't children under a certain age always considered a
chol hashem b'sakana? We'll talk about that. They're always considered a very good chol hashem b'sakana. Does that mean you can do the rises?
But maybe for the derabanan,
would that give you any more ground? No, it would give you less ground. The chol hashem b'sakana, you can do a derabanan yidei shinai. That's what we've been talking about anyway. Avi?
What about the use of medical glue?
So glue is definitely better than stitches. Glue may be less deraisa, may less likely be deraisa, but may still be deraisa.
But you could use a shino if you could hold it in the other hand or something like that.
Yeah, so I don't know. You have to talk to professionals how feasible that is. But in general, glue is definitely better than stitches. So if you have a choice between glue and stitches on Shabbos, you should definitely go with the glue. And it may well be that glue may only be derabanan. Okay? So I encourage you to do your independent research on this, and if you find out anything, please report back to me. Back to our... Sam?
Going back to the Nunzel case and trying to make it my hours.
Right.
I'm not, I don't know the Nunzel case, but if it's like a right. face condition that's all over right. the entire face, then
right.
it's like a saver, but if
right.
a cut on a part of the face, do you still call that a kind of saver?
The way he presents it is that the face is not functioning properly, meaning there's a something off in the appearance. So if it's a visible scar, even if it's only one part of the face, but the face as a whole has something off because of that scar. So I think it's arguable that it's the same thing. Okay, so we had discussed previously what the svar for this magnificent Ramban is, which is not so easy to understand, is why should it be that you're allowed to perform a malacha, even a malacha deraisa for chol hashiyesh v'sakan, where that malacha itself doesn't have any hatzalas nefashos component, simply because that's the way you would normally treat a chol hashiyesh v'sakan during the week. So we quoted Rav Chana's explanation, we quoted Rav Shechter's explanation that it's simply a extension of Ein Hokem v'Yikuach Nefesh Acharo, so you have to be choshesh for myriad possibilities. So anything that we're talking about where you're allowed to do Shartzracha means that there's some possibility that if you don't do this, there would be Hatzalos Nefashos considerations. So Rav Yashiv has a different approach. Or an additional approach. Rav Yashiv, in a piece printed in Kovitz Tshuvas Chelik Beis Simen Kavav, so he thinks the Magen Mishnah is only talking about the following relatively limited kind of situation. There is a Hatzalos Nefashos need, let's say, to provide heat for the chola. So the chola is cold, and he's in a tenuous situation, so there is a concern for his welfare if you're not going to provide heat. But there are two ways of providing heat. You can either cover him with blankets, or you could turn on the heat. So even though you could cover him with blankets without violating any Isser Shabbos, but where the more effective or the normal way of providing heat during the week would be to turn on the heat, then on Shabbos you can turn on the heat as well. So that's Rav Yosef's understanding of the limitation of the Magen Mishnah. Okay, what other curious marmokam? I was looking at Rav Nevin Salo's Hagos of the Mishavru this morning, so I came across the following as well. This is on the Mishavru of Sifkat and Tez Zayin. So the Mishavru there writes that the Mechaber says in Sif Dalet, Kishe yodim umakirim ba'osa choli shemamtin ve'ein sarach kilo asa l'chal alav apapishi maka shalchalal. So even if you have the kind of a wound that would rise to the level of choli sheyesh ba'sakana, but if you know based on experience that nothing is going to be lost in the treatment by waiting till after Shabbos to provide the treatment, then you're not allowed to be mechal Shabbos. So if there's going to be no loss in waiting, then you're supposed to wait. So the Mishnah Berurah comments, Ratzal lomar, you know for sure, however you can know for sure, you know for sure that the illness is not going to be exacerbated if you wait until nightfall to treat it. So, if I understand Rav Nevinsal's brief ha'ara there, he says, maybe you should be choshesh that after Shabbos will be a strike. And you won't be, it sounds like, and you won't be able to access the medicine and the services that you need. Now, I know in Eretz Yisrael, definitely in the previous years, there always strikes in every public sector all the time. But I thought that, you know, that you started striking at the beginning of the day, not they wouldn't call a strike with the Shabbos. I don't know. But if I understood him correctly, he wonders whether you should be choshesh for a strike. I guess in America, that's probably not a consideration. Okay, we're going to move on now to a discussion of Chola She'ein Bo Sakana, and Chola She'ein Bo Sakana is tied up, the way presented in Shulchan Aruch, to another subcategory of Sakanas Ever. So the Gemara tells us in Shabbos and Daf Kuf Kaftes Amin Aleph, in the Sugya of Yoledes, Shabbos Kuf Kaftes Amin Aleph, that there's something called a Dover She'ein Bo Sakana, a medical situation that doesn't involve a sakana, where there's no pikuach nefesh consideration per se. And the Gemara says there, you're allowed to ask a nafri to perform malacha on behalf of this einbo sakana situation. So this is what, the way Rashi explains it over there, the Gemara in Kuf Kaftes, is a chola that chola she'im lo yasu lo refua ein mesukan lama. So if you don't provide the medical attention, he's not going to die from it. But there is a need for medical attention. So that's what the Rambam terms in Parag Beis Halacha Yud, which is the parlance that we usually use, chola she'im lo sakana. Chola she'im lo sakana means that there's no danger to his life, but there is some significant lack of function which is attributable to a medical condition. So we'll talk about the zera of not having medicine on Shabbos and how that is relaxed for a chola she'ein bo sakana probably next time. But in terms of what malachos, specifically what malachos derabanan, what flavors of malachos derabanan could be performed on behalf of a chola she'ein bo sakana, in the Rishonim, and the way he presents in Shulchan Aruch, that is tied up with the question of Sakanas Eiver. How do we treat a situation where there's no danger to life, but there is danger to limb? That there is a medical situation which, if not treated, would lead to the lack of function or lack of optimal function of a limb. That's what we call sakana sefer. So that's based on a Gemara in Avodah Zarah Daf Kaf Ches Amun Aleph. Avodah Zarah Daf Kaf Ches Amun Aleph. That talks about a certain eye condition. Most Rishonim understand that the Gemara here discusses doing malacha to treat an eye condition where the Gemara understands that there's some connection or some sakana, or sakana sapashos potential by not treating this ailment. And most Rishonim understand that's limited to the ayin, or limited to this particular condition, but in general, when it comes to sakanas aver, there isn't a concern of sakanas nefashas. But there is a major machlokes rishonim, if that's the case, so what? How do we treat, or how are you allowed to treat sakanas aver? So the Rush, for example, in that sugya of Avodah Zarah, the Rush in Perek Beis Siman Yud, he leaves it as a tzaruf ian whether sakanas aver has any broader allowance than a chol she'ein bo sakana. Chol she'ein bo sakana, we saw you're allowed to have enough, we do malacha on your behalf. That's what's called a shvus shelo ayidei maisa. You're not doing anything, you're not even violating the Rabbanan, but you're having the non-Jew violate a do malacha on your behalf. So that's called a shvus shelo ayidei maisa. So are you allowed for sakana sever to perform a shvus ayidei maisa? Can you even do, let's say, a malacha derabanan yourself for the benefit of a chole, of someone who has a sakanas aver situation? So if you look in Shulchan Aruch, there are multiple opinions quoted here in Se'if Yud Zayin. Chole she'nafo machmas chole yo lemishka ve'emo sakana. So you have this classic chole she'emo sakana. Chol she'ein bo sakana, sometimes referred to as nafal lemishkav, that he's sick in bed. Omer le'eino Yehudi la'asos la'refuah. So you're allowed to, that's the Gemara in Shabbos Kuf Kapes, you're allowed to tell a non-Jew to perform a lach on behalf of a chol she'ein bo sakana. Aval ein mechal en lavet ha'shabbos b'se deraisa, but you're not allowed to perform a melacha deraisa. So you could have a non-Jew perform a melacha deraisa, but you can't perform a malacha deraisa yourself for the benefit of a chol she'ein bo sakana. Afilu yesh bo sakanas aver. Even in a situation of sakanas aver, you're not allowed to perform a malacha deraisa. Okay. Ulechalo olav Yisrael v'isa derabanan biyadayim. What about, can a Jew perform an issa derabanan on behalf of a chola she'ein bo sakana? So yesh matirim afilu ein bo sakana sever. So one day it says that you're allowed to perform an issa derabanan for a regular chola she'ein bo sakana and kol shekein for sakana sever. That may be the position of the Rambam as my focus, Magna Mishnah Kesef Mishnah. V'yesh omrim she'im yesh bo sakanas eiver osin v'im bo sakanas eiver ein osin. And the second day it says that there's a difference between sakanas eiver and the chol she'im bo sakana. Chol she'im bo sakana, a Jew is not allowed to perform a malacha derabanan, but sakanas eiver, a Jew is allowed to perform a malacha derabanan. That's the position of the Ran. That the Beis Yosef quotes. V'yesh omrim, and this is the Ramban, she'im eivo sakanas eiver osin b'shinoi. So for a regular chol she'im sakana, a Jew is allowed to perform a melacha derabanan ayde shinoi. V'im yesh bo sakanas eiver osin b'lo shinoi. And by sakanas eiver, then you could perform a melacha derabanan even without a shina.
For regulars,
According to this position, by regular cholash eimah sakana, you can do melacha derabana mishina. Right.
And that's the position of the Rambam?
That's the position of the Rambam. V'yesh amrim, afilu yesh bo sakanas eiver, ein osim lo davar shehu nismach l'melacha deraisa. V'yesh amrim, that even when it comes to sakanas eiver, you're not allowed to perform a melacha derabanan that is a extension of a melacha deraisa. Meaning, if it's just a gzeira, or just a something that is totally derabanan, not based on a melacha deraisa, then that would be permissible. If it's a derabanan flavor of a melacha deraisa, it would be aser. And if there's no smach malacha, then you could do it even berchola she'ein bo sakana. It says mechaber divrei asfar hashlishi is nearing. So we assume like the third day here, that of the Ramban, and Mishabur writes the katan in Zayin, hainu, shemotur lasos afilu kola shvusim, so you're allowed to perform any dirabanan Tirak ayde shidoi imu choli kol aguf eimah sakana sever. So you're allowed to perform any derabanan ayde shidoi by a chola she'eimah sakana. V'im yesh bo sakana sever ein tzarach shina klal. But if it's a sakana sever, then you can perform a melacha derabanan straight, even without a shidoi. Kach pirshu etaz, magen avram, kachas v'agra, shidezu ikar, shidas rov haposkin. And again, a chole she'ein bo sakana, you can perform a melacha derabanan ayde shinoi. Chole de sakanas eiver, you could do a melacha derabanan even shelo ayde shinoi. Then there is a additional opinion in Rishonim that doesn't make it to Shulchan Aruch, and that is the opinion of the Meiri in that sugya of Avodah Zarah. The Meiri in Avodah Zarah in Daf Kaf Bes, Dibur Maskel Ayin, has an opinion that when it comes to Sakanas Eiver, you're allowed to be Mechal Shabbos even on Daraisas. Yeah, there also there is a potential Sakanas Nefashos component. In the footnote there in the Meiri, he writes that Lo Matzino Lo Chaver, we don't find any other Rishon that espouses his position on the Meiri, that you're allowed to be Mechal Shabbos on the Raisas for someone who's Chola de Sakanas Eiver. And Shachter points out, this is printed in Bifei Etzon Simen Yud Os Vav, Bifei Etzon Simen Yud Os Vav, that the Sridi Eish has the following argument. Sridi Eish printed in the old version of the Sridi Eish, Chelek Aleph Simen Shin Ches, Chelek Aleph, beginning on Simen Shin Ches, in a letter which is a response to something written by Rav Shorbach. So the Sridi Eish there writes that he thinks there are at least two other Rishonim that follow the Meiri's position. He thinks he has a Rabbeinu Tam and a Raviya or a Mordechai Vidas Rabbeinu Tam that also support the Meiri's position that you can be Mechal Shabbos Daraisa for someone who's Cholah this Sakana Sever. And this Sridi Eish thinks if that's the case, if it was only the Meiri, so then that's a total Yasyakir. But if there are other Rishonim that have such an opinion, so then because Ein Hokim and Bikuach Nefesh Achar Rov, we should be choshish for that minority opinion in Rishonim. And when it comes to any question of Sakanas Nefashos, we're machmir to treat it. And then you would be allowed, or you should, perform Malacha Deraisa on behalf of someone who's Cholah the Sakanas Eiver. So Shachter points out, if you look there at his analysis, he doesn't think that the Sridi Eish's analysis of those Rishonim is compelling. He doesn't really think that the other Rishonim the Sridi Eish quotes really do hold like the Meiri. If you look in Nishmas Avram, he has this as well. He doesn't quote the Sridi Eish as far as I recall, but he thinks he found an Aguda that also holds to this position. And if you look in Rabbi Karp's book, Hilchos Shabbos for Shabbos, the beginning of Parak Lamed, he writes, referring to this argument, Ra'isi b'sefer Achad, without mentioning the name of the sefer. So I first thought that he was talking about the Sfirat Yesh and didn't want to mention the Sfirat Yesh by name. But then I realized he's quoting the Agudah, and the Sfirat Yesh doesn't quote the Agudah, but the Nishmas Avram quotes the Agudah. So I think he's probably more likely quoting the Nishmas Avram, not wanting to refer to the Nishmas Avram by name. Be that as it may, he also has a similar analysis to Rosh Hashter. He doesn't think that that any other Rishon really holds like the Meiri. So it's a Das Yachin Rishonim that is not reflected in Shulchan Aruch. So the bottom line is, as far as Sakana Sefer, we usually assume, like what the Shulchan Aruch says, that a Malacha Dirabanan could be performed Al Yidei Yisrael. He quotes Rabbi Natan and Raviyah and the Mordechai Bedas Bali Tosfos. You can take a look at even look at Rishaktis piece, or you can look at this radiation site. There are remote quotes over here, going a little bit out of order, but just in the interest of time, I'm going to do it this way, and then we'll come back and discuss Kol HaShe'em HaSakan in a more robust fashion next time. Yeah?
So what did we say for a Shvur Ba'idei Maaseh?
We would allow it, or
we
wouldn't? For Sakanas Eivor? Yes. Sakanas Eivor, we would allow Shvur Ba'idei Maaseh. Yeah, you can violate Nisr the Rabbanan. So the Ramah says at the end of Sifri Zayin, Mutter Lomer Le'eno Yehudi Lasos Tafshe Lekatan She'en Lo Malecho Distam Tzarche Katan Kecholah She'en Lo Sakan Adami. Okay, so that's a Beferish Gemara, you know, leaving aside the four-way Mechlokas Yishonim here, four or five-way Mechlokas Yishonim, but to have a Nafri perform a Malacha for Kecholah She'en Lo Sakan, that's a Gemara that everyone agrees with. So the Ramah says that a Katan who doesn't have food to eat, or the kind of food that he's able to eat, and you're stuck on Shabbos, so then you can have a Nachri perform a Malacha Deraisa in order to get food for the Katan, because the needs of a Katan are considered a Chola She'en Bo Sakana. So what is the age of a Katan that we're talking about? So the... is the true of the Minchas Yitzchak, Chelek Aleph Siman Ayin Ches, Radayan Weiss argues that it's up to 9 years old. Because we find in Hilchas Yom Kippur that up to 9 years old, the child is not allowed to fast even time of Shos, because that would interfere with his the functioning. So just like here, you find an age of 9, so here also, that would indicate that if a child's not going to have his normal food before the age of 9, then he's not, that would be considered a Chol HaShe'em HaSakan. Rav Shechter points out in that piece of Dekhei Tzon, Simin Yud, footnote 3, that comparison isn't so muchach, because one's talking about at what age is appropriate to fast in Yom Kippur, and here we're talking about what's going to interfere with the normal functioning of the child. Sakana, Chol HaShe'em HaSakana, is someone who can't function normally. So, you know, we have certain illnesses that prevent us from functioning, where you'd be no full of mishkan, you'd go to bed, or if you could, you'd go to bed. A child, a little child, who's doesn't have food, is not going to function normally, is going to be totally disoriented and not be able to function. So that's usually an 8-year-old, typically, even if he doesn't have food right away, is going to be able to function. So the age would presumably be somewhere younger than that, where it's going to interfere with the little child's ability to function. The Chazon Ish has in Siman Nun Tes basically this analysis, or Chaim Siman Nun Tes, that when it comes to a young child, if you're going to withhold food, then they're going to go crazy. They're not going to be able to function normally, and that's why we would consider that a chola she'ein ba'sakana, that would allow malacha al yidei nachri. Okay, I think we'll stop here. For next time...